I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It is a big day for the Memphis Grizzlies. They got the tip-off luncheon going on inside FedEx Forum, and obviously they've got to get down to a 15-man roster. Here to help us break down what's in store for the Grizzlies is the one and only Mike Wallace. Covers the Grizzlies for Grind City Media. Covers everything in Memphis for Grind City Media. He's here now. Mike, what up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Glad to be on with you guys.
Of course. All right, let's get to what everybody's wondering about. The Grizzlies have probably the most work to do in the NBA because they've got to cut and or trade two guaranteed contracts. I know the deadline is later this afternoon. And the news that just came out about 30 minutes ago, about an hour ago, is that the Grizzlies are planning to either waive or trade Wade Baldwin IV and Rade Zagorats. Have you heard anything similar to that from where you've been?
Yeah, that report doesn't surprise me. Obviously, knowing where the guys stood going into this process, Rade, Wade, Mario, Jarrell Martin, those were guys that were on certainly high alert in terms of what their potential future could be with the Memphis Grizzlies. And now to see that, there are reports out there that are indicating Wade and Rade are the two that they're going to try to, the Grizzlies are going to try to do something with. I mean, that sort of makes sense. I mean, Rade was sort of the last guy coming in. He was a project seen all the way through this process. Is he ready to play right now? No, he's not. This also means that, hey, Jarrell Martin came from, was the underdog that survived it.
How about that?
And he had a heck of a preseason as well. So then to go to Wade is a guy, again, a year ago, he was the first-round draft pick. And we know he spent half that season, or majority of that season, in the D-League. Andrew Harrison and Mario Chalmers simply beat him out. So the Grizzlies knew that they were going to have to swallow a tough pill with this. And if these two guys are the guys that they have to end up trading or moving on from, they did their due diligence. Everyone can say that they had an opportunity. And they actually ended up doing what they said they were going to do, and that's going with the best guys who had the best preseason. And Jarrell played well, Mario played well, and Andrew basically just beat out Wade Baldwin when it comes to that.
So – with Wade, obviously, he was a first-round pick, 2 years ago. What was it that never worked with him? Why didn't it click? Was it because it felt like there wasn't a ton of opportunity for him? Was it just a matter of, Andrew Harrison outplayed him in the first year, and here comes Mario Chalmers, he's healthy again, and it's a numbers game, and he hasn't really proven himself?
That's exactly what it was, because if you go back to going into training camp, the two easiest cuts to make would have been Jarrell Martin and Mario Chalmers. Mario was on a slightly partially guaranteed contract that the Grizzlies could have easily cut him and moved on without any financial penalty or very, very minimum financial penalty. Jarrell Martin is a guy that, basically this is the last year of his contract. And you can honestly say up to this point, he really hadn't met expectations. So, you still have time with a Wade Baldwin. But again, if you open the door and say, hey, the best guys who play the best right now from this point forward are going to make this team, the Grizzlies held true to that. And it doesn't, no one wants to cut and move on from a first-round pick a year after you do it. Wade probably thinks it's unfair. But I also think that, knowing Wade and being around him and spending time with his family and spending time privately with him when he was in the D-League, I went up there and did a piece and spent 3 days with him. I know that he's looking for, once he gets over the disappointment of what this move could be, he's going to look forward to having a fresh start somewhere else, and he has a chance to resurrect and salvage his career.
And then with Roddy, skilled, but maybe still a couple of years off, it just never looked like it fit quite yet.
Yeah, you talk about the numbers crunching. We talked about how bringing in Mario and Mario showing that he's in shape, push way down another peck in the pecking order. Same thing with Roddy, with Jarrell coming in and showing that eager, sort of that desperation that he's needed to show for a while. And then you double up with drafting Ivan Rabb and giving him a guarantee. There really was going to be somebody squeezed out when you talk about, Rade Zagorats. And it's one of those situations where the Grizzlies loaded up on second-round pick young guys and rookies, and it was somebody couldn't make it. Guys just couldn't continue to make it. Yeah. You can't have half your roster either rookies or second-year players, and that's just, where the numbers crunch came in at for Rade.
Mike, you reported that Fizz has said that Chandler Parsons is going to come off the bench to at least to start the season. Is that the best thing for this team right now?
No question about it. You know, if you go to GrindCityMediaGrizzlies.com, I mean, I think my column pretty much lays out, you know, all the sides of this thing. I mean, it's good for Chandler because guess what? He doesn't have to go out there and try to force anything if his body doesn't feel right. He doesn't have to go out there and put a lot more pressure on Mike and Mark and Jermichael in a starting lineup if his body's not ready to cooperate at that level. It's good for the coaching staff because they don't have to sort of guarantee him and grandfather him a role in minutes. In the first team, you know, and maybe not even in the second team if his body doesn't cooperate or come along as fast as it needs to. Again, this is still a guy that's three surgeries in and only about 6 months removed from his most recent one. So, yes, he's still in the sort of get my rhythm back, get my body back stage when it comes to that. Is the knee structurally fine? Yes, from all I've heard, it is structurally fine. Now this is about him becoming an NBA elite level basketball player. That's hard to do. And thirdly, it's good for the fan base, too, because at least now, yes, Chandler's been a lightning rod. But as I said in the column, I think he gets a little bit of an olive branch now because any one of us would have signed that contract if it was presented to us. And he doesn't want to be in this situation. But I also think being humble and showing humility about going to the bench and sort of working his way back from the back end of the rotation, it should serve some good graces with the fan base. And I just think, you know, maybe some people can be a little more patient with him now. They're still going to be fanatics.
Absolutely.
But at least he's saying, you know what, I've humbled myself.
Right.
Allow me to get through this. I want to be a part of this thing.
Certainly take some pressure off of him. You hope that works out for him. Take that away. Put him to the side for the preseason. Your biggest takeaway from preseason, whether it was how sharp Mario Chalmers was, whether it was the pace of play, kind of the change in style that Fizdale's shooting for, biggest takeaway from you for the five preseason games?
You know what, the biggest takeaway for me, obviously you wanted to see Mark come back and show that ankle issue wasn't going to be anything major. So that's one. But you said biggest, and I think I'm gonna come from left field on this one. I think, to me, the biggest takeaway was that Fizdale talked about the changing the pace and the system that he was going to run and be more up-tempo. But it really showed in the play of Brandon Wright this preseason, because Brandon Wright was quietly the star of the preseason in terms of the minutes that he played, the role that he played, and the ability to see that, you know what, I don't need to be traded right now. Zach Randolph's moved on. We've transitioned from grit and grind pace to a more up-tempo pace. I'm going to have a role on this team this year. And Brandon Wright came back motivated. He came back in shape. And now we might see the best Brandon Wright that we've seen since he signed. That's not going to be hard to be because he's been hurt.
Right.
But he actually has a role that he believes in now. When you go back to the exit interviews, this was one of the most vocal guys in terms of expressing his displeasure with the way things were going.
We are, of course, talking to Mike Wallace, who covers the Grizzlies for Grind City Media. I want to go back to Chandler Parsons for a minute, Mike, because obviously we've spent a lot of time talking about that on the show. And at this point, now that we know, for better or worse, Chandler Parsons is going to be a reserve, or at least he'll start the season as a reserve, we'll see how long it lasts. How difficult a pill do you think it is for that organization to swallow? Because obviously you don't give a guy a max contract to be your sixth man. They had big dreams for him. They had big visions for him. They brought him here to rebuild, the sort of rebuild and retool the way they play. And obviously he's not been able to give them what they envisioned. So I guess just how we arrive at that point, how hard do you think it's been for that front office that had much different visions than how it's played out?
Oh, it's extremely hard. I mean, you know, I said this, and it's, you know, again, there are going to be people who are still going to be skeptical. You can blame the front office, blame the coaching staff, blame Chandler Parsons, blame. At some point, you got to get beyond that and say, you know what, okay, it is what it is. This isn't the NFL.
Yeah.
You cannot cut a guy on a guaranteed contract the way that you do in the NFL. Now, again, no one expected Chandler to be in this situation. The Grizzlies did their due diligence with his right knee, the knee that had the multiple surgeries, and they felt that they were in a comfortable place with putting together a new medical staff and a program to get him right and get his right knee back. And guess what? The left knee goes out. So now this guy is dealing with problems with both knees and recoveries, and this is where we are now. This is not where we were last year. We were in a different spot 6 months ago, and now we know exactly where we are. It is frustrating. I'm not saying that the front office or anyone gets a pass. Ultimately, you're judged by your results. And right now, Chandler Parsons is slated to be the richest reserve in NBA history when it comes to his contract. And again, he's not starting, and he might even start the season not even in the primary rotation. So that's something that's going to be a tough pill to swallow no matter what, but it also means that there are other opportunities, and the Grizzlies most certainly have to get one of these other guys to really step up and play above board sort of compensate for where Chandler is right now.
Right.
Yeah, and what I won't do, and I've been consistent with this, what I won't do is I won't retroactively fault them for going after Chandler and taking that shot, because if that move works out, you finally get a legitimate three-point shooter, a guy who's explosive, who gives you 15 points. Like, that's what you thought you were going to get in Chandler Parsons. Take you back to the summer 2016. You know, Mark's getting up there. Mike's getting up there. You never know how long your window's going to last, and you're just trying to keep up in the arms race that is the West. So they took a shot. Like, I can't retroactively fault them for that. It's just been been disappointing to see.
John's frustrated, Mike. You can tell.
Mike. You know what, Jason? And John's right, because, John, listen, man, look. I know I come on with you guys occasionally, but I listen to at least some segment of your show every day. So I know where you guys stand on this. And, you know, there's a voice of reason within both of you when it comes to this Chandler thing. And you're right. You're not retroactively leveraging anything, because, again, it was totally fair to be skeptical going in. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was fair to say, you know what, this guy is coming off of surgery in Dallas, and I don't know if it's wise to risk this kind of money for a guy that you're gambling on at that level. So even that perspective is fair. And the bottom line is that the people who were skeptical coming into the Chandler Parsons signing have a little bit of more momentum now, because it hadn't worked the way that to this point that it was expected to. I mean, the guy's not even halfway through this contract yet. I mean, he still has $70+ million left on this contract. And for the Grizzlies' sake and for Chandler's sake, he hopes to be a productive player. Is he going to be a superstar starting small forward for the Grizzlies? I wouldn't bet on that. But can he still be serviceable and help your second unit and be a productive guy that can make that second unit alongside Tyreke Evans and possibly Mario Chalmers be one of the more productive and Brandon Wright be one of the more productive and versatile second units? Absolutely. But if you're going to always judge Chandler by his contract, it's just going to be unfair.
It's a frustrating exercise, right?
Yeah, you're going to be stuck in a place that you don't want to be, and you're never going to be able to feel comfortable about that.
I'm with you 100%. A couple of weeks ago, I asked you about Dylan Brooks. Is there any way he sees time on the court this season? Can he be a rotation guy? He said you pointed out how tough it was going to be with what he did in the preseason. You think anything's changed? You think maybe he's worked his way in? What you can tell, and I can tell it from following you, is that Fizz loves him, doesn't he?
Oh, Fizz loves him, no question about it. And Fizzdale has a history going back to his days in Miami, where he played. Rookies. I was about to say freshman, but he's a rookie. And if you go back to 2008, 2009, Mario Chalmers played. He started as a rookie second-round pick on that Miami team. You know, Fizdale went and started Andrew Harrison in the season opener last year. So he's shown that, look, if you can play and you can help us, you have a spot in the rotation. And I think Dylan was another one of those surprises that you talked about. He's just a gamer, man. He's not going to out-jump you. He's not going to beat you racing down the court. He's not going to, overwhelm you with his physical presence. But in the fourth quarter, when you need him to make a big shot and make a smart play, he's right there.
Gamer.
He's a gamer that knows what he's doing.
Mike, finally, you got a sneak peek, or have you seen what the plan is for the tribute to Tony for the season opener?
I'm trying to think. I've seen so many videos over the last two weeks. I know it's going to be hype, man. I do know that. I trust the video department and what they put together. We got one of the best guys in the league, and Michael Blevins and his staff, when it comes to doing that. It's going to be emotional. I mean, Tony almost teared up just at practice the other day before he even got to Memphis. Then he came in and saw Mike Conley and his teammates for that preseason game last week. And just imagine when you guys saw, he wasn't even in uniform. And he got a standing ovation when he was shown on the Pelicans bench during that preseason game.
That was emotional. I wasn't even there. And, like, when he held up the first team, I got strangely emotional.
So imagine when he's in uniform walking to the middle of the court and then doing his thing, man.
It's going to be something.
It's going to be something, absolutely. I think it's going to be almost as what it was like that year when Mike Conley was shown in the suites when he broke his face and they showed him with the mask, you know, back up there during that playoff series, man. It was just strictly emotional.
No doubt about it. Mike, man, you're the best at what you do. We appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on and breaking it down for us this morning.
Hey, no problem at all, man. Appreciate it.
Yep. Yes, sir.
He is Mike Wallace, senior editor at Grind City Media. Whew, I got to tell you, man, it's tough. I mean, Rade Zagorat signed like 3 months ago, and like now he's gone. I guess what it was is you have hopes and you have dreams, but you get him in person. Obviously, he did not really impress at all.
No,
in
he
Summer
didn't do
League.
Much at all.
And you know, you wonder if maybe he needed a couple more years overseas before they brought him over,
especially on the defensive side. Things look too fast for him.
No question,
especially in terms of moving laterally, that kind of thing. Look, they went with the guys who played the best.
They did. They did.
I mean, they didn't go with, hey, what we think he might be in 1, 2, 3 years. They went with the guys that, and Andrew Harrison earned it. We said that last week. If you were just going on that, he earned it. Roddy didn't do much. Jarrell did.
You know,
Dylan Brooks showed something, so that hurts Roddy too.
I thought that Wade Baldwin's first round drafts pick status would save him this time around. But, you know, I guess if you're the Grizzlies, you know, you'd say, hey, look, the pick's been spent.
It's like we said last week. It's like we said, if people are mad at this front office, they're already going to be mad because of the Chandler situation. You know, they're not going to hold it and say, oh, this Wade Baldwin thing. No, at some point you got to save face. You cut the guy, you say that Andrew Harrison outplayed him, and you move on. People are already mad at the front office because of the Chandler situation. So what are you going to get, you know, add Wade Baldwin to it for?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, listen.
He got outplayed.
My stance on Jarrell Martin and Wade Baldwin, that was who I thought it would end up, Andrew Harrison. The only reason why I said Wade Baldwin would stay was not because of anything he did on the court.
Oh, it was always.
Simply just because of him being a first-round pick. And can you take another bullet if you're the Grizzlies on a first-round draft pick miss? Can you do that? I guess,
but
obviously.
Again, the hole is so big from the one from Chandler.
You know what I mean? That bullet they've taken from that one now. 12 before Wade
there
Baldwin.
There you go.
So what's one more at this point? If the kid can play, he can play, and if he can't, he can't.
Guys that have earned it. It's what looks clear.
Perhaps it's a sunk cost sort of theory.
Yeah.
You know, like that pick's been spent. We can't get it back.
So then you wonder, how long do you go on with Chandler if this is what he's going to be? But, of course, the hope right now, he's going to be better than
you gotta trot him out on the bench first.
It's going to be a while.
Exactly. But appreciate Mike Wallace for coming on and breaking it down with us. I know they got the tip-off luncheon going down at FedEx Forum. So appreciate that in his time. We'll come back. David Rudd, president, University of Memphis, is going to join us at 12:25 as we continue to celebrate the Navy win by the University of Memphis. They are in the top 25.
How about
today,
that,
folks? How about that? Back in a minute, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.